Hello and welcome to the Real Estate Matters podcast. I'm Stuart Norton with the Alabama Center for Real Estate. And today our guest is Katie Lincoln. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, glad you could make it. And so so Katie is founder and owner of Lincoln Holdings. And I just want to say congratulations on starting that new business.
Thank you.
So before we get into some details about Lincoln Holdings and your new, you know, this new business that you have, let's just talk a little bit about your career path, that led you, to your current role as founder and owner of Lincoln Holdings.
Sure. So this is interesting. So stick with me on this.
Yeah.
It will come full circle. But I actually went to school for a double major. I did broadcast news through the communications school here at Alabama, and I had a second major in musical theater.
Wow.
So two things completely unrelated to what I'm doing now. And, you know, I went all in on that. I was doing the internships with the ABC 3340. I worked at the news station. I was in productions with UA for theater 6 out of 7 nights a week throughout my time here. And thought that was what I was committed to doing. I got a great job lined up in Nashville when I graduated at News Channel 5, which is the CBS affiliate. And it was a morning show news producer position.
Mm-hmm.
So my typical day in Nashville would be wake up at like 9 o'clock. I was into the music thing, so I would head to the bars and do open mic nights. So I had like Bluebird, the Pix, Commodore Grill, like made all the rounds and would go play the open mic night. And then I'd go to work at midnight. I'd help put the show together. We went on air at 4 a.m. and get off at 9. I'd try to, like, you know, see the sights in Nashville and then go to sleep and do it all over again.
That is a busy day.
Yeah, it was like, and it was a blur because you're just crazy hours. So crazy schedule, and it was fun, but I think I quickly realized, you know, halfway in that the lifestyle that I was going for, kind of what I was wanting long term, this was not going to fit. So working in news, you work holidays, you work Christmas, they don't pay you very much. You're working, I mean, again, I told you I was going midnight to 9 a.m.
Right.
Kind of crazy hours. So I thankfully learned pretty on that I wasn't, you know, I don't think you know that in college. You don't know some of the things that you're going to value when you get out of college.
Right.
You don't know how the real world works. So I came to that realization pretty quickly and was introduced to commercial real estate as an option. And I looked at brokers. I looked at kind of that career path, and it lined up more with what I saw myself doing long term. So I quickly made a big pivot.
I decided
I'm going to intern in this. I talked with the brokers at Grandma Company and was
able
to get an internship there post-grad and loved it. So I decided to go all in. I went back to school to UAB. I did my MBA in finance. I said, okay, you know, I'd gone all in on the first path. I had to switch gears now, do the same thing here. So I said, I'm going to get my CCIM within the next 2 years. I'm going to get involved in crew and leadership positions. And I did that and totally switched gears into commercial real estate.
Well, that's a kind of a common story that, not just on the podcast here, but just talking to many people in real estate, it seems like, the majority of people that are working in real estate, whether it's residential or commercial, you know, it was, I guess you could say a second career for them,
right?
You know, not something they did straight out of school. But that's a very interesting background that's led you to where you are now. And so let's talk a little bit about Lincoln Holdings, your new company. And so so when did you start that?
So I'll give a little bit more context on how I got here.
Sure.
After I worked at Graham, I stayed there for 2 years and moved up from marketing to financial analyst into kind of a new business coordinator. Wanted to be a broker, had the chance to go to CBRE to do that, and spent about 8 years there working office, retail, got to work on some big national accounts. So like USPS, Regions, Nike, had tenant rep experience early on in my mm-hmm. career, and then moved into the retail side of things where I got to work on some big projects in Huntsville, like Town Madison and Mid City and the whole mixed use development side of things. And, knew I liked the full circle cycle of the deal, knew I liked, investment sales as part of my CCIM and finance background, and was gravitating more to that when I got recruited 3 years ago to work at a development firm that focused on healthcare real estate.
Okay.
And that was a great timing in my career because I was trying to sort of find my niche and my focus area and what I was really going to dig in on. And
mm-hmm.
the property type has a lot of nuances and, just it requires a different level of expertise that I was able to learn when I went to work there and had the chance to structure some deals and just found, one, I love this property type. Two, I think there's some great opportunities in it. And three, I'm good at this. I like this. And that evolved to the point where I I wanted to continue. I started structuring acquisitions. I wanted to continue doing that. And time and place in the market right now with development is difficult. You know,
right.
I think if you're following construction prices and rates, it's hard to get some projects started. Meanwhile, there's a lot of opportunities in the acquisition space to buy good investment deals, have similar returns, and we can kind of go into that.
Yeah.
But there was a investment thesis that I just felt was too good not to require my full-time attention. And I took a little bit of a gamble. You know, development in the next 3 to 5 years may be difficult. There may be opportunities over here in this sector. I'm going to focus on this opportunities. I'm going to go all in, start Lincoln Holdings, so I can have a really specific focus and approach on how I want to go about doing that. So that started first of the year. I launched Lincoln Holdings. We primarily are here to do just that, to source, service, and structure real estate deals. And it's in the healthcare sector.
Okay.
For now, I mean, that's where I see the opportunity.
All right. Yeah. So with your focus on medical office properties, what type of projects do you see yourself focusing on going forward?
So I led on that there is interesting dynamic right now. So I put a report out on this a couple months ago. If you go to my website, lincolncre.com, you can download it. And what it's showing is that if you build a building right now, your starting rent for medical is at minimum $49 a square foot. If you had built that building 3 years ago, you would have started at $27 a square foot.
So the construction cost.
The construction cost, the rates, and I think that's conservatively speaking.
Right.
And a lot of people are like, well, it's always cost more to build than it's cost to buy. But this is, if you kind of look at the history and the gap, that differential, I think this is an unprecedented time we're entering into. So put it in terms of like what's it actually look like in the rent. A 20,000 square foot tenant's going to be paying $500,000 more with that rent jump than they paid for the same building 3 years ago.
Right.
So I'm not saying that there's not an opportunity for that, but a lot of tenants are having to pump the brakes. They're not able to take on those projects. And we've got this weird situation where they still need quality space. And there's a lot of great buildings with bones in place that can serve those tenants and serve a need. And your risk just went down from worrying about them vacating to go build new, because we just talked about the options are getting harder to work. And you've got, there's going to be a natural market rent growth. I mean, just as a result, that's supply and demand, right? So finding those opportunities with good bones in place, good tenants in place. I mean, I'm looking at health systems and physician groups, and being a good landlord partner to them through this turmoil that we're entering. That's the main focus. Those are the buildings. I'm looking southeast. I'm looking, you know, Birmingham area primarily, but Atlanta, Florida, into Tennessee as well.
Okay. Yeah. And just speaking of location, when it comes to medical office, I mean, this is kind of a broad question, but generally what are the, you know, when it comes to location, is it more of an urban, suburban? I'm sure it depends, you know, on the specialty of the physician. But just talk a little bit more about location, you know, what they're looking for, positions at least, in a medical property.
Yeah, so there has been a trend where a lot of groups want to get out of your traditional MOB on campus where you can't find parking and you're stuck in a deck.
Right.
They want to get closer to their patients, closer to the community. You know, I worked in retail for years, so this is a lot of similar parallels to like a retailer going out in the market. They're looking for similar type space. So I don't, you know, location is everything, as in any property type. You want to have a plan A, B, and C to backfill that location if the tenant doesn't work. But you've got such intricate build out that there's low risk of them leaving. When they do leave, you want to still make sure you've got a good location that you could find another user for if you had to. And if you get that, healthcare is a little bit different, that I think you can look in some suburban locations because it's harder to replace. They've got to serve that community. You know, you've got to make sure your tenant has longevity there.
Right.
But I don't, you know, not look at suburban. I look at urban and suburban and kind of all any and
sure
all
thing.
Of the above.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I've noticed here in town is that, bank buildings, kind of near where we live, there's two bank buildings. They're former bank branches, and one of them went to a children's, an urgent care for children.
Yeah.
You know, a new use. And so, if we talk just that kind of just to, it gets kind of ties into what you were saying. You're wanting to be closer to where the patients are.
Right.
But let's talk a little bit about conversion projects and what you know.
Yeah.
Where, underutilized real estate, you know, is an opportunity. Just talk a little bit about conversion projects and what you're seeing.
It's a great point because we're seeing more of that. I think you're exactly right on the bank branches. Those are getting scooped up and converted. And I think a few years ago, in all property types, people would weigh the cost to convert and they'd say, you know, we're not even saving that much. We might as well build ground up.
Yeah.
Well, that shifted to where it's costing so much to build ground up that those costs to convert are actually not looking so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can take advantage of the shell of the building, I've actually got a project I'm working with a landlord on right now where he's got a general office building. It's about 10,000 square feet. It checks all your boxes for highway frontage and, you know, ingress, egress, good access. It's kind of that retail location. Yeah.
Plenty of traffic, exactly. I would imagine. Yeah, car traffic.
Exactly. And so, but it sets up well to be converted to a one or two clinic space.
Mm-hmm.
And the pricing on that is still resulting in a cost feasible rent, which is what I've referred to earlier is becoming more difficult when you're talking completely ground up and you're having to do everything from scratch. It's harder to get to that cost feasible rent number.
Right. Okay. Well, that definitely makes sense with construction costs. And I was just talking to someone recently, you know, and his general comment was, you know, I've seen him, you know, through his career, he'd seen him go up, you know, pretty consistently, but they never really kind of come back down. You know, maybe it'll be different this go round, but I can definitely see that as a challenge.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. So I think we'll have this probably wave of market rent growth until we catch back up. And I'm not saying we won't be able to get those projects going again. And I think we've got to get creative and still do that when it's needed.
Right.
But it's being creative in the meantime to make sure people still have quality space. We still need space for physicians. We still need somewhere for them to go. And, you know, from an investor side, those are pretty good deals. You're still
for
getting
sure.
great tenants and, you know, great market rent growth without necessarily taking on that that risk.
So your average physician, is it in their business model? Would they rather rent the space or own it? Or have you seen any trends there?
Yeah, it's different and it kind of goes back and forth. You know, I think right now there was a time when all physicians wanted to own their space.
Right.
And now you've got a lot of younger physicians that don't necessarily want their own practice. They prefer to be employed. They prefer to have a little more flexibility. They don't necessarily care about owning their space.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got plenty that do, and they see the benefits of it. But what's unique about this sector, I've worked in office, retail, industrial. A lot of times your tenants aren't coming in with you on the ownership side.
Mm-hmm.
In healthcare, it's pretty common to have physicians come in either own the whole thing or they come in as a partial interest. And that's, you know, another unique feature of what we do is structuring deals where we can bring physicians in. They still get the benefits of ownership, but they're not having to like be in the day-to-day minutia of owning real estate.
For sure.
So I think that's probably becoming more common for those that don't necessarily want to go all in, but they still want some of the benefits.
Right.
And it's just a balance.
Yeah, and that makes sense, especially for young physicians, you know, because they have, you know, getting the career started.
Right.
You know, well, thanks for that insight there. But back to, back to conversion projects within medical.
Mm-hmm.
What are just some of the challenges? We can just talk about the challenges and opportunities. I mean, obviously the opportunity, it sounds like it's a cost. But it's a cost thing. But what are some of the other challenges you face in a conversion project?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, general office is struggling. That's not a secret. And
right.
I think a lot of people in general office or who have a building are like, hey, let's convert it to medical. That's kind of become the golden child, like, easy solution. And not every building works for a medical conversion. It has to, like I said, it still needs to have those location. It can't be buried in the back of an office park, which is what a lot of our space is.
Okay.
Or a downtown tower with a ton of vacant space. That's hard to convert to medical. That doesn't make it convenient access.
Yeah.
You don't have the parking
situation. Yeah, you're back to the parking deck situation.
Yeah. So, you know, I have people talk to me about converting their building, and when you have all the boxes checked, it's a great way to do it. I think, you know, multifamily is the same way.
Right.
A lot of people try to convert to multifamily, but the corridors and the windows and kind of, you didn't need like a really long, skinny unit. You still needed a livable space. You've got the same challenges in healthcare, just in terms of your elevator sizes and your column spacing. I mean, there's a lot that goes into making sure that it checks those boxes. But when you have one that works, and I think some of these single freestanding bank branch type retail buildings do work very well for that.
Are there some other building types that set up well, you know, so the bank branch kind of sets up well for a medical, you know, switch to medical use? Are there any other, you know, just building templates that make it a little bit more easy?
Yeah, I think you do see the retail centers that are taking advantage of some of their old former big box space and trying to convert it. And that works well when you do have some imaging or some space where you don't necessarily need the window and, you know, the windows. There are certain multi-story buildings that can be converted, but again, it just has to have the right kind of core and shell features to lay that out.
Nice. So we talked about medical a good bit. Would you want to discuss some market trends and other property types just for a little bit?
Sure. So, you know, office we know is a challenge, but there's ways to get creative in that. And there's a lot of locations where the dirt's good, the building's just challenged. So I think we're having to rethink how we make that work. I think retail, everyone's running into these same cost constraints right now. So any retailer trying to build a new store is still going to have some of these same issues that I'm talking about in healthcare. I think, I mean, here's my plug for my business. I think that it's, I think our consumers have a little bit more of an appetite. You know, if you go to Starbucks and the rent's gone up, well, you're paying for that near a cup of coffee, right?
Exactly.
That's gone up too. In healthcare, it's a little harder to pass that through. So that's why I think we've got a little more opportunity in healthcare, you know, to be pretty confident in our investment. Retail is running into the same challenges though, and they're having, I think if you kind of follow LinkedIn threads of retail brokers are saying, we don't have pencils down on developers, we don't have new projects, we've got, you know, if you have a freestanding building with a drive-through, we want it, you know, like, because we can't replace that right now. And then industrial is still going really strong. I think it's slowed down a little bit, but that continues to be, you know, that was the sector that a few years ago, nobody thought we could have any spec space in Birmingham, and now we've got it and it's already full. It continues to be pretty strong.
Right.
Sector.
Yeah. And just speaking about downtown Birmingham for a little bit, because I read something not long ago about just how, you know, obviously with, you know, we talked about the office struggles, but it seems in like, you know, I was reading something about St. Louis, actually, how, you know, there's the AT&T building downtown. Imagine a 44 floor building downtown St. Louis, vacant. Just sold for $3.5 million.
Right.
You know, and it went for like $200 million, I think, in the mid 2000s. But obviously, downtown St. Louis, you know, struck. It seems like downtown Birmingham, you know, generally speaking, I mean, most of the workers are back. You know, we've. Seems like that area's kind of avoided that to a general, you know, just generally speaking.
It's so interesting. There's been some really cool conversion projects. Anything that's kind of boutique-y and hip and cool, like you lease it before you even get a sign up, and and the prices is getting driven up. Meanwhile, you've got these, you know, more dated buildings, your traditional office buildings that you're buying just for super for steals, and you know, you can't sell them even if you want to. So it really is a weird time in the market. But Birmingham, you know, we've done pretty well with our downtown, and we've got some pretty cool conversion projects going on. It'll be interesting to see if they can all, you know, continue. I could see a slowdown in some of the new construction and renovation projects, but I think we're going to fare better. I mean, we always do. We don't necessarily take the huge upswings as some of the larger cities, but we also don't have the big hits.
Right. Yeah, well, that's and that's where I grew up, and it's just always cool to go back to Birmingham. And I feel like every time I'm up there, I see something new. You know, that it's either, you know, new retail, you know, new this or that, especially in the downtown area. And so let's talk a little bit about your involvement. You're a very involved person in professional organizations. So just share a little bit about your involvement with CCIM and CREW. Those are two groups that we're very happy to work with on a pretty consistent basis here at the center.
I've been involved with both on, you know, executive positions and through the board. I was a president of Birmingham CREW, remain involved as a member, and, you know, recently rolled off as the president of the CCIM chapter. So moved through, was on that board for like 7 years before I entered in the executive track. And I think anyone who's getting into the industry, I would just highly recommend get plugged in those organizations. It's been great for my career. I'm about to get a little more involved nationally at the institute level because, you know, part of my job is knowing the brokers and hearing about the deals all over the Southeast. And it's those places where you build those relationships.
Sure thing.
Also just the designation, you know, I think is important too. So that's been super beneficial for me and an area where I've been able to, you know, add a lot of value too, just through, we won the selfish plug here, but we won the President's Cup under my year of CCIM.
Oh, cool.
Which was pretty cool. But I think that's just as a testament to the strength of our chapter, and getting to do that was pretty awesome. I've recently gotten involved also in some areas like the Birmingham Zoo. I'm on the junior board. So trying to find the balance of making sure I'm involved in the industry organizations, but also in the community as well.
Right.
I think that, you know, anybody working in real estate, it's important to be well-rounded in that, and whether you're working in real estate or not, right?
Community involvement, it says a lot.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but that's a cool asset to have there in Birmingham, the zoo, you know, kind of centrally located. And that's one thing, you know, obviously don't have one here in town, but whenever we take the kids up there, they get super excited.
Right.
You know,
it's been fun. You know, part of that board is fundraising, and it's like the easiest thing to raise money for, because who doesn't love the zoo, right?
Exactly.
It's been a pretty fun board to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. And really not, I mean, I know it's been several years now, but it just looks a lot different than when I was a kid going out there on field trips. It's a really good renovation project y'all did, you know, in the last couple of years. So, well, this has been, I feel like this has been a really good episode. I've enjoyed hearing about your new company, learning more about medical properties. But any final thoughts as we kind of wrap it up here?
I would say if I haven't talked to you in a while, let's connect. If you're listening to this, I've known a lot of people through different asset types throughout my career. I've got a new sort of crowd in the healthcare sector, and it's a really interesting space. A lot of people I've talked to like the space, but they know they want to be involved in it, but they don't know a lot about it, and I'm able to help them navigate that. So from whether you're an investor or a broker, I hope we can connect on that front. If you're, you know, a physician or an end user, I think it can add a lot of value there. So we just encourage people to check out what I'm doing now, check out my website, and hopefully we can stay in touch.
All right, awesome. And remind us that website again.
It's Lincoln CRE, like commercial real estate. So my name, LincolnCRE.com.
Awesome. All right, Katie. Well, like I said, I really enjoyed the episode today, and I thank you for joining us today.
Me too. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Stuart.
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been the Real Estate Matters podcast, produced by the Alabama Center for Real Estate. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, Podbean, or just ask Alexa to play the Real Estate Matters podcast.